Lovely to see you all. So here we go then. Perpetual
transformation.
Okay, big word. So today I am going to speak on the subject of discipleship. Now, when that word is mentioned, I wonder what images conjure up in your mind. There's lots of stuff online about it. Lots of books have been written on it. Lots of podcasts are on it. There's just lots of information about it. So when I think of all that, what do I think? I think, let's go to the movies. Yeah? Because these themes are often picked up in films. Think of discipleship, whatever that image is in your mind. I've got a few pictures from films, and you'll get the idea of discipleship there. But you've got to guess the film, okay? Got that? So are you ready?
Yes.
I'm on trend there this morning, yeah? Can you see the theme of discipleship here?
Yes.
Okay. Now, somebody, look, you don't know who they are, do you? Right. You're not going to get on very well in this church if you don't know who they are, okay?
I now know that.
You know that, yeah. Do you know who they are?
I think so.
You think so? Help her out. Who is it?
Yoda.
Which one's Yoda? Yeah, just want to be clear. Don't want to take anything for granted. Luke Skywalker and which film's it from?
Star Wars.
Yes.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes. Yeah. We've got to get it. If we're going to do it, let's get it right. Okay. Right. Move on then. Okay. What about this one? It's the Karate Kids. Yeah. So with Karate Kids, all you have to do is this. What are we doing? Wax on, wax off. Remember that? Or doing the fence?
Yeah.
Who's seen this film? Oh, you've got to see this film. This was the film when I was growing up. This was the discipleship film to go and watch. Wax on, wax on. So we've got Daniel's son. And who's with him? Who's his mentor? Mr. Miyagi. Yes, very, very good. You get it? Yeah. Next one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, do you recognize this one? You never had a friend like? Yeah, so Aladdin being helped by? Okay, you got it. Very good. This one?
Harry Potter.
Yes. Yeah, so who have we got here?
Harry Potter.
Yeah. I'm not helping myself here, am I? and on the right?
Dumbledore.
Yeah, that's right. Dumbledore helping Harry Potter. Next one? Yeah, Lord of the Rings, yes. Frodo and Gandalf, yes, yep. I did go for that beard once, but it didn't quite work. I think during COVID, you know, when they'll go, you've had a beard a bit like that, haven't you once, Simon? You did. Who? Oh, yes. Yeah, Murray, stand up. Just look at that. Look at that beauty, look. That's a beaut, that one, isn't it? Okay, what about this one? Oh, Sarah, yeah, it's Million Dollar Baby, yes. Have you seen this film? Oh, watch this. Oh, you will cry at the end of this film. I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but very, very good. Very good. Again, somebody, we know on the right, yeah? Clint Eastwood, again, training up. It's a boxing film, but yeah, you'll cry at the end of that one. What about this one? The Sting, yes. Have you seen this one?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great one. This is a great Saturday afternoon one. Again, Paul Newman, Robert Redford. Robert Redford wanting to learn from Paul Newman in The Big Sting. That's a great film as well, isn't it? Oh, we should just be sitting and watching these, shouldn't we? Yeah, what about this one? Oh, yes, yeah. Anyone want to sing anything from this one?
The Lion King.
Hakuna Matata, yes. Yeah, so we've got Simba. And is it Mufasa? Mufasa, yes. I like the way you say it. You say it much better than me. Yeah. Training his son. What about this one?
The Matrix.
Yeah. So who's on this side on the left? Lawrence Fishburne. Is it Neo? No. Who's he?
Morpheus.
That's right. Morpheus is on this side. Neo's on that side. Now, do you know the name on the guy on the right? The character is Mickey Goldmill. Again, he trains Rocky. Again, that's all sad as well, isn't that film as well? So there you go. There's a few films where Hollywood loves to look at the imagery of discipleship, training, mentoring. So what is a disciple?
Following Jesus.
Following Jesus. Say again. A student, a learner. Okay, yeah, good. So
Matthew, Mark, Luke and John.
Next door neighbour. So let's sort of look into this a little bit. Let's go back to the Bible times, where we'd have had the rabbis, who were Israel's spiritual leaders. They were the wise men, the old sages, and they would gather together young men and train them. But they were the leaders, weren't they? They were the ones who were the spiritual leaders. And in the culture, they would gather together people to train them. But that didn't just happen in a spiritual sense. If you think about a lot of the occupations that we read about in the Bible, there was a lot of shepherds, wasn't there? A lot of fishermen, a lot of carpenters. And I wonder whether or not when the young Jesus was learning carpentry with his dad, Joseph thought, this is it, this is the business. Joseph and son. Or Joseph and sons, you know, he's going to carry on. But that wasn't to be. But that would have been the culture of the day, wouldn't it? An oral culture, passing things on to the next generation. And the rabbis would have done that in a spiritual sense. And that's what Jesus did, didn't he? When he started his ministry, the New Testament tells us that he called disciples to him. If you think of the disciples, some again hear this image of them sort of fishing, and he says, "Yeah, no, you come and follow me." It's interesting, isn't it, to note that the people that Jesus called, we don't really know much about their history, but we don't know whether or not they had been called by the rabbis or not. But there they were doing their jobs, and Jesus said, "Right, come and follow me." So what happened when Jesus called them? They spent time with him, yeah? So they listened, they watched, and they learnt. And the beginning of the Gospels is all about them just watching what Jesus did. But then they partnered with Jesus. You see the Jesus beginning to say, "Right, well, I'm doing this. Well, you go and do this." And he kind of lets them go and do a few things, and then they come back. And so they're partnering, and there's impartation, because they are doing the same things that he was doing. And then they get to the point when Jesus actually commissions them, doesn't he? He says to them, "Right, you go and do this." He releases them, and they are fruitful. There is an increase of what Jesus did, because it's multiplied through them. But also, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, when Paul, as an older Christian, is writing to Timothy, he says, train people who can then go and train people. In other words, he says, go and make disciples who can make disciples. And so we have then like a cyclical thing where it continues. I guess that's that imagery of that perpetual transformation, that we are disciples that should be going and making disciples. So that was the model that Jesus demonstrates for us in the Bible. So just take that in there. Also note that Jesus called a group together. And then we have times when Jesus was with the 12. There were times when Jesus was with the 72. But there were times when Jesus was with the 3. And I reckon there were probably times when Jesus was one-on-one as well. You think of these three in particular, James, John, and Peter. They were kind of in the inner circle, weren't they? They were in the they spent time with Jesus. Was it Jairus' daughter when Jesus just took those three in? I wonder how the others felt when Jesus said, "Oh, no, you stay here, I'm going to take these three." But what's that shown us is that there was different degrees, there was depth of relationship. I'm sure there was some one-to-ones. What is fascinating about James, John, and Peter is we see their journey, don't we? When we read the New Testament, we see what they were like when they were called, and we see what they were like as they got older. Why? Because we've got their letters. If you read John's gospel, read John's letters, read James and Peter's letters, these guys have really been perpetually transformed, haven't they? Two things to note Jesus said this in John 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Jesus has called them to himself, and in some of his final words, in that beautiful talk in John, in the loads of chapters in John, about a third of it is that preach that Jesus says, he says, you're not my servants anymore, you're my friends. There's a change that goes on in that relationship. Second thing to know in the change of that relationship is this, which he picks up in Ephesians 4. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that, what's the purpose? The body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The goal, I would suggest, of discipleship is friendship with Jesus. It's a relational connection and maturity. We see that with James and John and Peter. The letters that they write, the hearts that they have, we see they have changed. They've become friends of God and they have become mature. Discipleship is all about becoming a friend of God. It's becoming mature in your faith. And it's for everyone. It's for all of us. God is a God of relationship. I'm struck time and time again as I read through the pages of the Bible. You see how God wants to be involved with people. He's not a far off God. He's close. His desire is always for relationship with us as individuals, to move us from being far off to be close, to become a friend, and for us to grow and to become mature. Let's move on. I believe that all Christians are called to be a lifelong disciple of Jesus. We are all called to be a lifelong disciple, which means it's a journey, isn't it? We use that word quite a lot. It is a pilgrimage. There will be times then that we have our one-to-one with God. There might be times when there's a few of us that are connecting with God. There might be times in larger groups that we are connecting with God. And we do this in various ways, don't we? We have the Bible, which we can read and we can study. And we're encouraged to do that on our own, also encouraged to do it in groups and in formats like this as well. There's lots of different layers of study, but God has given his Bible to us. Of course, there's prayer and there's other things that we can use, reflection and meditation, to help us cultivate that relationship with God. But if we think about it, that model that we saw with the disciples is still applicable to us. So we spend time listening, watching, and learning from Jesus. How do you spend time listening to Jesus? How do you watch what he's doing, be it through the pages of the Bible or reading stories of what God is doing in the world? How are you learning from him? But then how are you partnering with him? For us, we have the Holy Spirit with us, don't we? God has imparted something of God into us. And we find that we are doing things with him. I find these days I'm trying to catch up with what God is doing. God is doing things. He's initiating things. And what I have to do is think, oh God, I'm trying to discern what God is doing and get on board with him. So how are you partnering with him? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? The New Testament talks about being filled and keep being filled with the Holy Spirit because we're partnering with him. We have been commissioned, haven't we? We have been released. And God wants us to be fruitful in our ministries. He wants us to carry on the works that the disciples did. That is the Great Commission, isn't it? And us and the church, with a capital C, is to carry on the works of Jesus. And I think fruitfulness is a mark of being a disciple in our own lives and wherever God calls us to. And maybe there are things where you think, I'm not being fruitful. So we can ask the question, well, Lord, where do you want me to be then? Because fruitfulness should follow when we follow in the steps of Jesus. We are called, therefore, to make disciples that make disciples. You know, one of the things about being involved with a church is there's always things to be getting involved with. Because there's always people who need to know more about God. I've loved you, Sue Curtis, getting involved with Alpha and just helping people get to know Jesus. And your passion for it is wonderful. You know, if you're thinking, there's more, well, you know, what should I be doing? Scratching your head thinking, well, I don't really know what I should be doing. Come and talk to us, because there's so many opportunities to get involved, because there's people out there who need to know about Jesus. There is a world out there where we actually have a clue. Well, I would say more than a clue. We can point them to something even greater, because we say, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. He's doing this in my life. It doesn't mean we've got it all together. Often I say, well, look, I've been like this in my life. It hasn't been going so well, but you know, I found that Jesus has helped me here. So we have that light, we have that hope, and people want to hear it, actually. We don't ram it down people's throats, but when people ask us, we can tell them, can't we? With gentleness, with love, with grace. The goal for us, therefore, is becoming friends of God. Isn't that incredible to think that you and I can say to Jesus, you're my friend? That we know him more than this sort of image in the sky, this great God. But actually, it becomes personal and it's relational. And God's goal for us is to become mature in him, to grow in him, so that his ways become our ways. That it's like our heartbeat is the same as his heartbeat. That's what God wants for us. As I was musing on this, I was thinking, well, does this stop when we get to heaven or when Jesus returns? I don't really know what it's going to be like, but I think the friendship with God will continue, won't it? It'll go deeper, won't it? So we start it now, and it doesn't stop. It just gets better and better and better. What will it be like in the new heaven and the new earth or when Jesus returns? Well, I don't know what it'll be like, but our friendship with God will remain. And I think it's going to be incredible, isn't it? So we keep moving on in this. That is the goal for a discipleship, to become a friend of God, to be a mature Christian. Another thing to say about discipleship is this, that discipleship can be in a specific area. So you've got that thing that we are all called to. We're all called to be lifelong disciples, becoming those friends of God. But there can be particular specific areas that we might want to grow in. So, for example, you in your work life might go on a course. Yeah, you might be trained for a particular area. You might do some mentoring sessions, or you might get a personal trainer, a personal coach. Or bottom left there, you might think, I just fancy taking up ballroom dancing. You might do that. So what do? If you want to take up ballroom dancing, you go and find people who are good at ballroom dancing to teach you ballroom dancing. So if we want to grow in things, maybe professionally or in hobbies, we go and find people who are good at those things to help us. Personal training, little plug there for Joe Bastin personal training, if you need a personal trainer, he's your man. Life coaches, mentors, people that just help us. They're out there, aren't they? And they're quite common these days, aren't they? Particularly, say, emotional health, mental health, that we find people who help us. So what about in the church then? Here's just a few areas that we can look to be discipled in or to grow in. Other is just the wash-up for anything else I can't remember. But there are just some areas where maybe you think, I want to grow in those areas. Maybe those ones that kind of resonate with you. You might have some embryonic gifting in there. Or maybe somebody's seen something in you, says, look, I see something in you there. Let's cultivate that. Let it grow. But within church life, there are these kind of areas where maybe specifically we want to grow. And I guess here's another shameless plug for joining a team here in church. You know, if you want to get involved, a great way to feel part of church is joining a team. And a few people have already had a little look on the website and signed up for things. Well, we'll do it because it's a great way to learn and to be involved. You see, with these areas of growing, things do happen naturally, don't they? When our kids were little, we had to do everything for them. You know, if those of you who are parents here, I do remember the time after our first son was born and we came home and we were sitting at home, both tired. Marianne more tired than me, but you know. And you sit there and you think, there's a baby there. What on earth are we going to do? What have we done? Life changes, doesn't it? And you grow in helping that child in the different stages, in the toddler years and in the teenage years. But now they are independent, mostly, but they still come and maybe ask for a bit of advice. They have grown. We have discipled them, hopefully, in life. We've tried to train them. I remember trying to train them with valuing money and things like that. But the lovely thing is now, as they get older, they've become our friends. The relationship continues, but they're our friends, and we talk to them. They're maturing. So we have discipled them, but they get to that point where they have become their own people. So what does it mean for us? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Maybe you don't know Jesus for yourself. Maybe you think of God as a far-off being, an entity. Have you ever considered being one of his disciples in your own life? Where are you at in that? Maybe this morning, God is just saying, okay, how about it? How about going on an adventure with me? Do you know him? What was lovely with the disciples was that Jesus drew them together and they started to get to know who this Jesus was. They were with him 24/7, weren't they? They were living together, so they saw what he was like. How are you doing in knowing what God is like? The best way to know what God is like is to read about Jesus. Read the Bible. See God's ways in there. Get to know him. Are you growing in your walk with God? Sometimes we have seasons where we feel like we're really doing a lot of growing. Other times we have seasons where it might be a bit slower. In our garden, I'm not a great gardener, but over the years I've tried to just plant things. And I do a little bit of research. Does it need to be in, is it full sun, part sun, shade? And at the end of our garden, it's a bit shade. So I've bought a few plants. Some of them have worked. Some of them haven't. And there's been some times when I thought, this one is just not growing at all. And then I come back next year and there's loads of life there. And it's sometimes like that in life, isn't it? We might not know what's going on, but God is still at work. So are you growing in God? And are you going? Are you doing the things that Jesus asked us to do? Meaning, are you actively thinking about your faith in the context of workplace or with other people, thinking, well, how can I live as a true believer? How can I live a Christian life? Maybe that might be times of sharing my faith. Other times it might just be living a good life in the workplace full of integrity, being honest, not joining in with certain things, standing up for God's ways. I don't know what that looks like. But are you knowing God, growing God, and going with him? If not, what kind of pathways can help you get into that? I guess in stirring this up, there might be some questions that you have. Well, let's talk about that. A few years ago in this church, there was a thing on what they called personal pastoring. And sometimes, to be honest, it got a bit of bad press for some people, but there was good press as well. The idea being that there was somebody who you opened up and shared your life with. And I think in essence, it's a good idea to have a person where you can say, look, I just want to be honest with you. Rules of engagement is really important here, that you don't just pick any person and tell them anything. Or the other way around, that you go to somebody and say, I think I should know everything about your life. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if there might be one or two people where God is stirring you and there's a conversation that is had between the two to say, look, I feel I just want to say to you, you can speak into my life. I trust you enough to speak into it. Because we're not about people controlling people or worse, abusing people spiritually. That's not what I'm saying. But I know in my life, there's one or two people who I know I can just go to and say, look, speak to me, share with me, I trust you. So that might be something you want to consider. It might be in groups as well. Remember we talked about discipleship can be in one-to-one or in groups as well. Maybe there's a few people that you want to get together with. Pray for one another, encourage one another. But it's really important that they're trusted, you know, because it's so important that if we're opening up, that they're people that we do trust, because it's not what we want is to have people saying, oh, so-and-so said this to me, and handling that badly. We've got to handle that well. We have to treat people well and handle people well. But for all of us, there are different pathways that can help us into becoming the disciples that Jesus wants us to be. So let's just remind ourselves, discipleship. What is it? We are learning from God. The goal is actually relational. It's to become a friend of God, a friend of Jesus, to know his ways. You know what it's like if you've got really close friends? If you don't see them for a long time, I find if you see them, you just pick up where you were. There's something very special about long-standing, good, deep friendships. How about having that with Jesus, becoming his friend? It's also about maturing, becoming grown up in our faith, that God's ways just become our ways. That's the way we think. It becomes natural to us. And isn't for the few, no. The invitation is for all of us to become his disciples. So let me pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you are not far away, that your heart is to have a close relationship with each and every one of us. We thank you that discipleship is something that draws us close to you, that the goal of that is to become your friend, to know you more than just a far-off God, but actually to know you as somebody that we share life with. We know you, you know us. We become mature in your ways. And that through knowing that, we don't want to keep that to ourselves. We have a big heart because we have your heart, that we want other people to come into that relationship as well, to know you for themselves. I pray that as we just dwell on this, that you would speak to us, that you would help us to become the disciples that you want us to be. Lord, I pray you help us as a church, that we would find pathways to help everybody in this particular journey. Lord, we thank you that ultimately you want everyone to know you. Thank you that you pick people like us and you say to us, come, follow me. Pray that we would be good listeners of you. We would be good students of you. We would learn from you, and that your ways truly would become our ways. Lord, I pray that even as we go into this week, we would remember what you're like, and you would help us just to live out your ways through our lives. Lord, we bless you and we love you. We thank you that your heart is so for us. It's quite overwhelming. Thank you, God. Amen.